Shepard and Brian Friel, they were invited to supply updated versions of classic plays. The result is an extraordinary double bill which has been touring in Ireland and last night reached the Riverside Theatre Kilrain. Derek Mahon's translation of Molière's School for Husbands, retitled High Time, which ends the evening, and the opening play, a new version of Sophocles' Antigone by Tom Paulin, which he calls the Riot Act. Now, this is the play which enacts the tragic downfall of King Creon, who's refused to grant a proper burial to his opponent, the rebellious son of Oedipus. When the dead man's sister Antigone defies Creon by burying her brother with appropriate rites, Creon has her buried alive. And for his implacable cruelty and defiance of moral law, he in turn must pay.
Creon, you were too tough. The state is dead. That girl's brother had no right burial. And now his body stinks on our altars, stinks in our homes too. The birds have tasted blood from out his veins. It's in their cries they sting my ears, and the gods, they'll hear no prayers. Creon, you maimed him twice. That's never right. You'll pay the price.
Although he's blind, Tiresias, Des MacAleer, has clearly foreseen the outcome. Creon relents too late and now must bear the deaths of his own son, Antigone's betrothed, and his own wife. This story of a divided community and the punishment meted out to inflexible authority is done in modern dress. And Linda Henderson, who edits Theatre Ireland, saw the play and its companion piece last night. I asked her if she agreed with me that the language of Tom Paulin's version was both supple and vigorous.
Yes and no. He's chosen a very gritty, unpoetic, deliberately unpoetic language. It's a modern idiom with an Ulster flavour. Now, at the earliest stage of the play, in the mouth of Creon, the fascist bureaucrat, that language works very well because it suits that. At the end of the play, where the great emotional, cathartic thing comes to the fore, the language simply isn't flexible enough to stretch to encompass that. And Stephen Ray's Creon was forced into a position where all he could find was the maudlin. And it became, unfortunately, almost laughable. In his moment of agnorisis, he actually describes himself as cack-handed Creon. And it is so far from the necessary poetry at that point as to fail quite seriously then.
But it's very much Sophocles in modern dress, isn't it? I mean, do you think that the play comes through under the title The Riot Act as a play for our time, or perhaps, I should say, a play for Northern Ireland's time?
Well, yes, but I mean, I suppose the idea of using Antigone to make a point in a political debate is hardly a new wheeze. There's something rather tired about it. Everybody's done it. But given that, there were ways in which they did make the parallels in the play quite pointed in terms of the contemporary situation in Northern Ireland. The country, of course, is racked by civil war, and that war has happened because Eteocles, the first brother to rule, refused in the end to share his power. This created after the war a power vacuum which is filled by Creon. I think direct rule from Westminster, a sort of soulless, pragmatic bureaucrat who pays the price for his involvement by losing members of his own family, his wife and his son. And in the double bill with High Time, the programme is a fairly comprehensive indictment of both the temperament and the tendencies of the Ulster Protestant.
One wouldn't expect the second play, High Time, to have a political significance. In fact, it's the Molière play, The School for Husbands, on which it's based, is, I suppose, a play whose plot is a conspiracy of the young against the old, and the two principal characters are these two old men, Archie and Tom, who are anxious to make themselves appear trendy and up-to-date and à la mode. And of course, it's Molière in the accents of broad Ulster.
God in heaven, Archie, do you want me to make myself a laughing stock like you? There's nothing more ridiculous, I fear, than a mature man trying to appear youthful. He'll always get it wrong, of course, and end up looking like a pantomime horse and a shirt like a tequila sunrise, shorts so long they trip him up on the squash court.
I think it only reasonable to conform to current taste and not defy the norm.
How can you call that current taste? God help your wit.
You never miss a chance to put the boot in, do you? My appearance makes you rage. It seems as if a person of my age should give up all thought of an active life and think on his last end. It's bad enough being middle-aged in times like these, God knows, without behaving like a couple of scarecrows.
Say what you like, Archie, but don't expect me to change my style in any respect. Fashion or no, I'll have a decent haircut that lets the fresh air in at my neck, a suit that fits and keeps me warm and comfortable. For shoes, not some kind of a rope sandal, but stout brogues like her father used to wear. And those who don't like it can look elsewhere.
The hilarious, unheroic couplets which Derek Mahon has chosen for his translation, added to the backwoods Ulster accent, particularly of Stephen Ray in the lead role, gives the thing a very clear focus. What happens then is that the play is a debate between the relative merits of a defensive siege mentality and a more liberal openness to new ideas. Not unnaturally, the former, the poor old insecure Ulster Protestant again, not only loses what he has sought to protect by containment, but is an object of universal derision. And I think that that is the lesson of the play, and that is the point that it makes in combination with the Antigone.
Comparisons between the Marx Brothers and Hell's a Poppin seem to have occurred to many of the critics who've reviewed these two productions, talking of it as a high time. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. They brought in the two people from The People Show, Emil Balk and Mark Long, to direct it. And that was a magnificent piece of theatre. It was gaudily punk in its staging. It was physically vibrant. It was lively. It was inventive. The timing and the comic routines were simply marvellous. And Stephen Ray's performance in the central role as the siege mentality Ulster backwards man was simply a masterpiece of comic timing. It was side-splitting. I think it is actually the best piece of stage work that Field Day have yet promoted.
Well, the Field Day Company's double bill, The Riot Act and High Time, Linda Henderson was our reviewer, is in Coleraine until Saturday. After then, it moves for successive weeks to Limerick and then Cork. And I understand that this much-acclaimed pair of productions will be coming to the Hampstead Theatre later in the year.